www.diversityfund.org. You can send questions to info@diversityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and recordings are accessible online at www.diversityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of Africa Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Of course, we got open lines. The phone number is 202-588-0893. That was hard. We're on 89.3, and it took me a while to remember it was 89.3. Oh, man. So the old brain is starting to fade on me. Slowly, it's fading away. Not all that slowly, unfortunately. But so 202-588-0893. I'm sure you'll remember it, even if I won't. And I look forward to calls. You know, as you know, I enjoy callers, and I think it's very important. I think it's critical that people call that agree and disagree with me, particularly those that disagree, because that's one of the things that I really try to push. The point that I get across is just talk to people that you don't agree with. Listen to people that you don't agree with. Do not demonize people because they have a different perspective than you, because they see life different. Maybe they have a different culture. That's one of the unfortunate things I think that's happening. We get divided. And when people ask me, hey, what's the solution? And I always say the solution is for working class people to come together and realize that we need to stick together for our needs and our principles. You know, I was listening to a speech by J.D. Vance the other day, and as a political analyst, I try to listen to all the speeches and everything. Got to stay informed. And he started off by saying, the leadership class, and basically here's what he was saying, the leadership class has made an error because they moved all their stuff to China. Let me sum it up. They thought China would just continue to provide labor and keep their mouths shut and know their place. But what do you know? The Chinese people decided to innovate. The Chinese people decided to have their own scientific breakthroughs and work hard. And what do you know? They passed us. Oops, we made a mistake. Those yellow people aren't willing to stay in their place. And that's really what's happening. The West, the US and Europe are very angry because the Chinese and other countries that are supposed to stay in their place ain't willing to stay in their place. And now we got to bomb them or something like that, because that's all we know is violence, right? The West, the US empire, et cetera. And so I'm listening to that. The first thing I thought was, he said the leadership class, where what I usually say is the ruling class, the ruling elite. In other words, when I say this is about economic class, politics are about economic class. People are like, no, it's about right or left or this or that, or MAGA people or Democrats or Republicans. To the wealthy, it's all about economic class. He even said it. They use the term economic class. When we use the economic class, no, that's communism or that's crazy or something, because they don't want us to realize that working class people all have the same needs. And that if we ever wake up and realize that working class people all have the same needs, we won't be fighting over things. We won't be hating each other. We won't somehow think that some billionaire, well, we got good billionaires and their billionaires. We got our billionaires versus their billionaires. Ain't no billionaires, you're billionaires. The working class people need to come together. And so now what we have, something interesting, 2 months in, you know, Donald Trump, I'm the peacemaker, I'm bringing peace, right? And of course, needless to say, he's doing exactly what the empire does. The empire does genocide. They're back to genocide in Gaza. They're back to attacking Yemen. And you know, one thing for sure, the Democrats ain't going to push back on that, are they? They ain't going to say, hey, wait, you're killing innocent people and you're doing a genocide. You know, they will go against Trump for a lot of things, but genocide ain't one of them, because that's what the empire does. How pathetic and sad is that? Meanwhile, we got old Doge boy running around. He's, you know, what's interesting? Waste, fraud, and abuse. We got to fire all of these employees because we got to stop waste, fraud, and abuse. When you and I know, this ain't about waste, fraud, and abuse. It's about getting rid of lots of public employees so you can then replace them with artificial intelligence. And then who's going to get the contracts for artificial intelligence? Oh, Doge Boy and all of the tech, you know, moguls from Silicon Valley. They'll be the ones that get the AI and replace these employees. Also, let me add this. Does anybody believe for one second that if, let's say, they fire so many federal employees that they save, let me give you a number, $20 billion, $10 billion. Does anybody believe for one second that they're not going to increase the Pentagon budget by more than they, quote, save from getting rid of the, they're just getting rid of, they are downsizing them, but part of it is ideological. They're going to get rid of the, so they want to get rid of the Department of Education. What's going to happen then? All of that, those bills are going to be pushed down to the states and make our education system even worse. The federal, all they're going to say is, you know what? The federal government ain't going to pay the money that they were paying for education anymore. So the states are going to have to do it. So they're going to force it down to the states. And they're going to over-tax the state budgets. It's simple as this. During 2008 and early neoliberalism, what did they do? They wiped out all of the good jobs in the public sector, right? I mean, in the private sector. People had jobs working in factories. People had pensions. People had retirements, all that stuff. Early neoliberalism, they went after that and they wiped those out, and people don't have, they're not in unions, they don't have retirements and all that stuff. Now they're going to the private sector to do the same thing, to wipe out all the good jobs in the private sector. And let me add this, they get rid of federal employees, they're going to replace them. When they realize how bad it is, which they already know that things ain't working, they'll go out and give out contracts. But the people that they replace them with, guess what? They won't have pensions. They won't have all, they'll just be contracts. This is just another way to screw over the working class. That's what billionaires do. That's what this system does. That's what neoliberal capitalism does. That's what it's going to do. That's what we're dealing with. Just like all of the people that used to work in those factories and woke up one day and said, hey, all of our jobs are gone. Now they're going after the private sector. It's the neoliberalism, it eats its own. It's eating itself inside out. But the money's still going to go to the rich. The money's still going to get, just like it did before. And here's something that's interesting. Trump's been in here for four weeks? And as his numbers start to tick down, right, they're starting to slowly tick down because people are realizing, just like they do every 4 years, that they've been had. What's interesting is this. Traditionally, I think a lot of people are joining me. I think a lot of people are joining those of us who says, man, ain't neither one of these parties going to do nothing for us. Let me tell you why. Because as Trump's numbers start to tick down, and they will tick down, they will continue to tick down. Because he ain't going to keep his word, and the things that he does keep his words on will be the crappy stuff. As they start to tick down, let me read an article for you. Democratic Party's favorability hits record lows. This is from last week, 4 days ago, 5 days ago. Democratic Party's favorability hits record lows in two polls. The Democratic Party's latest approval rating hit record lows in a pair of polls on Sunday. An NBC poll found 27% of registered voters say they view the party favorably, the lowest favorability rating for Democrats in NBC polls going back to 1990. Listen to this. Only 7% of respondents, this is an NBC News poll, said they have a very positive view of the party. Another poll released by CNN similarly found 29% of voters view Democrats in a positive light, 27-29%. So here's what's happening. People who, I don't know, maybe falsely poor misled suckers thought, no, oh, Trump's going to save us. They voted for Trump. And now they're ticking away from Trump like, hey, you know, perhaps we've been had. Yeah, perhaps you have. But they're not going to see the Democrats expected. Well, they'll just leave Trump and jump back on our wagon. Yes, sir, they're coming back. No, they didn't like what the Democrats were selling after 4 years of disastrous policies, 4 years of war. Prices going through the roof. Nobody could afford anything. And the only thing the Democrats could find more money for was, what are we going to do? Hey, people are struggling. Yeah, but we got another $60 billion to go to Ukraine. Oh, hey, wait, we've got a genocide going on. Well, we got to give them more money because we wouldn't want the genocide to stop, right? We got to bomb the Houthis. We got to threaten Iran. What about China? Threaten them. That's all the Democrats could do, which is pretty much the same thing that Trump's doing in one. The sad thing is, the only one thing Trump is doing that is worth a crap, one thing, and that is he's trying to end the war in Ukraine. The only thing he's doing worth a crap is the only thing the Democrats have mad at him about. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And no wonder they're just a war party. which is the same thing as the Republican Party. They are just a party. What'll happen? The Republicans will cut things for the poor and screw over the poor people, which is what they're surely going to do. And you know what the Democrats will do? And people already know. They'll run on that. They'll say, vote for us because the Republicans screwed over the poor people. And you know what's going to happen if people vote for them? They ain't going to fix it. They're going to say, well, now that we've got that done, back to war. We've got to attack somebody. We've got to blow somebody up. More money to the Pentagon. People are just simply saying, I don't see a party that's offering me anything. I'm not here to say Trump is good. No, Trump is, I could go on and on about Trump. I don't have to. There's no, what am I supposed to say about Trump? The only thing I would say about Trump is that he is, what's the word I'm looking for? A little more entertaining than the Democrats. He's crappy. He's just a little more entertaining. Every now and then, he's an entertainer a little bit more. But as far as policy, what you have is this. You have a system, a horrific system, a system that takes money, that does what, here's what our system does. Let me make it clear. It extracts money from the poor and working class people and puts it in the hands of the rich. Not just here. It extracts money from poor people around the world. It extracts money from poor countries. You ever heard of a term of a guy in Guatemala? Here's an example. His name was Arbenz. He came to power in Guatemala at the time. The U.S. government was doing all kinds of stuff. U.S. corporations was over there shafting the Guatemala people, building banana plantations and stuff. And Arbenz comes to power and he says, you know, just some moderate policies he's going to change. I think that some of these peasants should be able to own land and some of the people here should be able to own land. You know what happened? He just came up with moderate policies to help the people of Guatemala a little bit. You know what the U.S. government did? Overthrew him and put in a brutal, vicious dictator and gave all the money back to Dole, the United Fruit Company, whatever, right? So let me add this. So whenever the United States government tells you, fill in the blank, this guy is a brutal dictator, understand that the history of the United States is installing brutal dictators. That's what we do. If we didn't install somebody in a country, truth is, he's probably not a brutal dictator. They're going to tell you that, you know, but the odds are, I'll put it like this. If the United States installs somebody in a government, the odds are, our history tells us, the only people we install, I could go on Pinochet, on and on and on. When we install somebody, they are a brutal dictator. And the reason the Shah of Iran, I could go on and on. And the reason we install brutal dictators is because the United States wants to steal the resources of that country. And it's a lot easier to do when there's a dictator that sells out to us and doesn't do any good for the people. But there's a cover story. Here's the cover story every single time. He's a brutal dictator, and we've got to stand up for fill in the blank. Independence. We got to stand up for democracy. We've got to stand up for the people. That's never the case. We ain't standing up for democracy. The people around the world know it. Unfortunately, this is the unfortunate part that I think, and this is why America is in real trouble. It would be bad enough if the people in America were uninformed. What's bad is the people are propagandized and misinformed so badly. When you talk to Americans, and I see it sometimes on the show, and somebody will make a statement, and you know me, this is what I believe in. I don't care if you believe disagree with me. That's fine. That's good. Wonderful. It's healthy to disagree with you, right? But have more than a superficial understanding of what you're saying. That's all. If you say, well, Garland, I think this is correct. Okay, good, wonderful. And I ask you a question about it. Why do you believe that? Right? I've had people say to me, Maduro's a dictator. And I say, well, I don't believe that, but I can make the argument as to why. You tell me why you think Maduro is a dictator. And 99.9% of the time, the person who said that heard it on TV and they don't know why they believe it. And that's most of our politics. You know what I mean? All right, most of our politics is Americans barely have a superficial understanding of what they're talking about. All I'm saying is this, before I go to the phones, believe what you want, but ask yourself every single time when you take a position, how do I know that? How do I know what I believe? Okay, ask yourself that. Disagree with me, good. But if I say, well, how do you know that's true? Just be able to answer. Give me something, you know? So, and one last thing I'll say before I go to the phones. If you think about your position and you think, you know, I wonder if the CIA would agree with me. If the answer is yes, you're probably wrong. That's all I can say. Whatever you believe, if the answer is the CIA would 100% agree with this, you're probably very, very wrong. 202-588-0893. Don't forget, please don't forget. Numero uno, when you call, don't set the phone down and listen to your computer or your radio or whatever, because we have a 10-second delay. And when I call your name, you won't hear me for 10 seconds. And turn the phone or the computer down in the background. If I'm talking to you and you and I can both hear the phone or the computer in the background, that 10-second delay is going to screw us up bad and you'll be confused. So 202-588-0893. All right, I'm looking forward to the phone calls. First call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
How are you, bro? Galan, this is Nick.
Great to talk to you. What's happening?
Great. I listened through the archives to know what happened, you know, what you did last week. Mm-hmm. Excellent program you did last week. Excellent history. Excellent everything, apart from, you know, some of the callers who ask you some questions that I could just not believe. Anyway, first and foremost, the main point is this. I don't know why people, nobody even, I've not heard anybody mention it before. Russia is Ukraine, Ukraine is Russia. The first emperor of Russia is Peter the Great, Peter I. Mm-hmm. He was Ukrainian. Mm-hmm. The first capital of Russia was Kiev.
Yes, it was. The capital of Russia was Kiev for hundreds of years, I believe.
Absolutely. These are one and the same people. I don't know. Honestly, my brother, it just completely baffles me. What is going on?
You know, can I throw something at you, too? You know, let me throw something at you and I'll get you to respond. If you look at the British are really good at imperialism, right? And what do they do? What does empires do? North Korea and South Korea, we get the Koreans to fight each other. Taiwan and China, we got to get the Chinese to fight each other. If you look in the Middle East, the Sunnis and the Shia, they got to fight each other. One of the things that empires do is go to a country and try to exploit the divides between those two countries. The British are excellent in it. And that is what they did in Ukraine. They went to Ukraine back right after World War II, got in Ukraine and said to the Ukrainians, you should hate the Russians. Because just like they want the North Koreans to hate the South Koreans, they want the Taiwan people who are Chinese to hate the Chinese people. And they want the Ukrainians to hate the Russians. That's what imperialists. That's what empire does all over the world. And then they come home and they lie to their people at home and say, we're there to help them for democracy and things of that nature. Go ahead.
Okay. Again, you gave a very great history of all the, let me put it, imperialistic wars and attacks on Russia, all of which Russia defeated. And we defeat any future one. Look at what happened in Afghanistan. Okay. Right from the Mongols to, like you said, King Charles of Poland, mm-hmm. to Napoleon, to Hitler. I don't understand. You can see I'm just so flabbergasted. Look at the German Chancellor. Look at the British Prime Minister. Look at them. I see they don't. Are they daft? Are they idiotic? Or what is their problem?
You know what? I think Americans do not want to believe the truth about their government. And when the American government, every couple years, it's Iraq, it's Venezuela, whatever government, when the American government, it's Syria, Assad is evil. When the American government comes to the American people and tells them that somebody is evil, the American people do not want to believe what their government really is. They don't want to look at the government's history, even though they're doing a genocide right now. American people still don't want to look in the mirror and say, well, they're doing a genocide. Perhaps they're lying to me about other things too. Americans ain't there, sadly.
My brother, please let me come in here. I feel your pain when you say this in over and over. But I think you don't understand that Americans America was, born in blood and in sadism and bloodthirstiness.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got to run. We got a couple of other calls, but I really appreciate it. We got open lines, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. And I'm with a lot of people. That's the question I always ask myself. And you know, I kind of say it every week. Man, how many times can the American government lie to the American people and they just keep believing it? At some point, you don't come complicit. If you believe it every time, it gets to a point where you kind of deserve what you get and you become a party to it. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Robert Moses. I'm calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Robert Moses, what's happening?
I bear witness that there's one God, Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith, and that for government, my faith tongue is his messenger. Fathers, help your children.
Thank you very much.
I'm about love.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Next caller, 202-588-0893. Next, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Mike from D.C., brother.
What's happening, Mike? Mike, what did you think about the, let me ask you this, throw this at you real quick, because I know you're kind of where I am in some things. The fact that even though the numbers are peeling off Trump and the Democrats expect, oh, they're leaving Trump, they're going to come to us. They're not going to the Democrats this time.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that. I keep saying that this is a golden opportunity for a third party. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had the right idea when he was bringing independents together that don't go too far to the left or too far to the right. That is the way to go. And if another third party come along and kind of do the same thing, they don't go too far to the left or to the right, I believe that they're going to be extremely successful. If this is the right time to do this. So to me, I do agree. I don't see too many people running back to the Democratic Party either because, you know, they really still don't have nothing to offer. And that's why I still get so pissed off that Black Radio, for some reason, till this very day, still want to attack Black men that did not vote for the Democratic Party. I'm still, you know, stunned by that. I mean, the election is over with, and he's still whining and crying about that. I mean, man, it's time to do something else now, you know, to try to come up with some more solutions instead of whining and crying about the same old thing. It's just a lot of these old heads out here, they still can't get past the Democratic Party. That, you know, for some reason that all Blacks must vote Democrats. That's not realistic anymore. You know,
Mike, I'll say that era is over with. You know, Mike, I'll say this too. And I think, you know, the truth is this. When you said don't go too far too left, I think we have to get out of the traditional left and right paradigm, because what we are told is left and what we're told is right is not even traditional left and right. I think we have to get into policies that make sense for the working class and not even worry about what we call them. You know what I mean? Because here's what's happened. Traditionally, the left was in favor of labor unions, was suspicious of corporations, was anti-war, right? Well, now we have a Democratic Party that calls themselves the left that don't agree with any of that stuff. They identify. Here's what happens. They identify by cultural issues. They say, if in fact you believe in, you know, whatever, they'll bring up a trans bathroom bill or some kind of thing like that. And they'll say that defines the left. If you believe that people should use pronouns, or if you believe, you know, whatever, vaccines, ridiculous, whatever, they'll come up with something that's very much about the Democratic Party. And so that makes you left. And I'll be, but you're pro-war, you're not in favor of unions, no, you're not in favor of workers, you're not in favor of anything that your traditional left was in favor of, you've redefined the left. So my position, Mike, is we got to get away from even the terms left and right, because the people in power have redefined those terms to a point where they don't mean anything anymore. We just got to stand up for everyday people. What do you think?
Well, yeah, you're right about that, but still, you still got people brainwashed that still believe that only the Democratic Party is the only place to go to. And a lot of people said, well, especially the younger ones, the old heads, you're not going to convince them. They still believe in the Democratic Party. Well, one thing that's really interesting is what Trump is talking about doing is locking up people and giving them some hard time if they keep on setting fire to these electric cars owned by Elon Musk. So, you know, I think he wanted to, what, give him 10 or 20 years? I think that's what he said.
Hey, well, here's the thing. Let me throw this to last thing, Mike. People are so frustrated. Okay, you're mad at Elon Musk and you go burn up a car. Tell me how that helps. You know what I mean? Tell me what that does. Tell me how that changes anything. It's like somebody standing on the street and screaming at the top of their lungs. Okay, you feel good because you screamed. It doesn't change anything. Like, you'll talk about this. We need a third party. People need to vote for third parties. People need to do something different. We need to, anybody can stand on the street, yell the, on the corner and scream or go burn up a car. So what? The people that own the car got insurance. They gonna get another car. They got insurance on those cars. You have not done nothing. Somebody gonna make some money. You know what? Whoever's selling the car is gonna make money because the insurance is gonna pay for it and bring them a new car. Big deal. You have done nothing to address the political situation. You have just acted out like a child who screams and throws a fit. I'm sorry. I'm not into screaming and throwing fits. Get the last word on this, Mike.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right about that, brother. But again, I still have to say that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. did have the right idea. I still believe that a new third party that comes out, I know you don't go for the left or the right thing, but I still think that if you go too far, I still think that party is going to be successful, brother. Peace.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Certainly appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. We got open lines. And let me say this. I don't believe that violence is the way to do it. Whether it's, Luigi shot somebody, okay. So the only thing that happens with violence is it escalates. I'm against a war. I'm not just against war. I'm opposed to violence. People get hurt. Innocent people always get hurt with violence. What if, I'm going to shoot this billionaire and you miss and hit some poor little three-year-old who's standing there with his pacifier in his mouth? Violence serves nothing. It doesn't do anything. And the people who use violence, I mean, if you're defending or protecting yourself and somebody attacks you, yes. But just to use violence to express a political position, I am opposed to that. Let me add this. The empire, the U.S. empire, that's what they live in. That's what they've always trafficked in, violence. Heck, you're playing their game. You're on their end of the field when you use violence. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, Garland? It's Max calling, checking in from Maryland.
Hey, Max. Max, what do you think about my argument of violence is a waste? What are you going? It doesn't express anything politically. It doesn't change anything whatsoever. And you know what? When you do violence, innocent people get hurt.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think that kind of plays into where this conversation is going to go today. I want to touch on a few things with you, and I'll kind of let you like guide when we should switch to the next one so I don't kind of ramble. Three things I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about how I think Trump is a architect of what's going on in the Middle East, even though the Democrats are historically complicit with Middle Eastern problems. That if you look at where Obama finished with Iran and to where Trump has been with drones, Abraham Accords, and then, you know, how that all played into what happened on October 7th.
Let me ask you this. What we're talking about has been going on for decades and decades and decades. Violence in the Middle East surrounding Israel, Israel bombing people, the U.S. Overthrowing Iraq and this country and that next country and threatening countries. In 2003 or four, I believe it was, it's a famous general, a five-star general. I forgot his name. He went to the Pentagon and he said somebody showed him a document that said they had five countries they intended to invade. So the United States empire has been involved in violence. If Trump was never born, the U.S. empire was been involved in violence for decades. So how do you think Trump was the architect of it?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah. How can you say Trump was the architect of it? Oh, darn it. I think we've lost him. Yeah, well, so much for Mac. He'll call. But I understand what he's saying. I just think, you know, let me say this. I think there are a lot of people in this country who have an unhealthy and pathological focus on Trump. And I think that helps the system because in America, what they train us to do, we're trained to deal with the politics of personality. If you're saying, okay, well, now that Trump's in, then the Democrats, Republicans, when Biden's in, Biden was terrible, now that Biden's in, and you lose the continuity of a system that extracts money from the poor and that uses war and violence to go around the world and extract money from poor people all over the world and do the same thing at home. And you get focused in on Trump. Why? If only Trump were gone, everything would be wonderful. Yeah, well, it wouldn't. Because you know what? You had a bunch of Democrats. And I thought Biden was an abominable president, in my opinion. But I did not have any hope that, oh, if only we get somebody else, that it's all going to be better. Because this is not about a person who's going to come in. In my opinion, let me throw this, say this. I've said this before. When I was a kid, back then, they had these little plastic steering wheels that you had. My dad had a pickup truck. I had a little plastic steering wheel. It had, you put batteries, you hit the button, it had blinkers. When my dad turned right, I turned the steering wheel right. When he turned left, I thought, I wasn't driving. That was all in my mind. It was the plastic steering wheel. That's how we are as the voters. We ain't driving. The billionaires are driving. We got a plastic steering wheel. They want it to look like we're driving. But no matter who we vote in, the system keeps doing the same thing. Genocide when Joe's in, genocide was Trump when Trump is in. It's going to continue. Yeah, they're going to tweak some things. Yeah, they're going to do terrible things. Who's going to always get the shaft? The working class. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany.
Brother Rick, what's happening in Germany?
Things are looking pretty quiet, man. What's going on in America has knocked the wind out of Europeans, and now they're running to get money together to arm themselves as the European Union against Russia. So,
well, I'll say, go ahead, continue.
I just wanted to say I'm all for the Green Party, but until the Green Party can put together some votes, I'm for Kamala Harris. And I think you have to look at not only Trump, but the billionaire technology wonk in terms of Elon Musk. And the billionaires sitting on the front row, Bezos, and what's the guy from
all the billionaires were sitting on the front row. Yeah, no, look, in this country, one way or the other, the billionaires are always sitting on the front row, and we're always in the cheap seats.
the billionaire from Facebook.
Yeah, Zuckerberg.
Yeah. These guys, they're watching Elon Musk take the blame, but they're all watching and putting in influence. The voting machines were rigged last election, and I don't think most people trust billionaires with the voting machines.
Let me throw something at you, Rick. I want to ask you a question, Rick. I got to ask you a question about that. In 2020, Joe Biden beat Trump in a close election. And Trump said, I think I've been robbed. They stole the election. I didn't really win. And for the last 4 years, the Democrats screamed at the top of their lungs. He's an election denier. He's a crazy man. They charged him with crimes. He's an election denier. He tried to overturn the election. He won't accept the election, right? Then when it came, just before the election, the Democrats said, we don't trust Trump. If Trump loses, he'll never accept that he lost and he'll say that it was stolen. And I said prior to the election, I don't care which party loses. No party will ever admit that they lost, and they're all going to always say it's stolen. The Democrats got the snot beat out of them. Trump stomped them. The Democrats lost the House. They lost the Senate. They lost every single state. And they still said they were stolen. How in the world, a person like me, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm on the outside looking in. And I see the Democrats get mad when Trump says in a close race that he was robbed. Then I don't think he was robbed. But now the Democrats get stomped and they still say they were robbed. From a man on the outside to me, it just looks like both parties, nobody will ever admit that they lost again. Rick, what's your answer to that? For a guy who's not a Democrat or Republican, how do you answer me?
I would say that neither of the parties is going to admit to the rigging of the voting machines because both sides participate in the rigging of the voting machines. And most common voters don't trust either the rich or the big money players in politics. I'm done, brother man.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Certainly appreciate it. And I'll make a comment like this. I find it, I love Rick. I certainly appreciate him calling. But I think that we're in a situation where now where voters are getting kind of deluded. They can't face the truth anymore when they lose. Democrats or Republicans, nobody can face the truth. To me, you can make all kind of positions and you can believe what you want. But as they say, men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. Prior to the election, the polls all said that Donald Trump was leading in every swing state. The night of the election, the exit polls said Donald Trump won in every swing state. When the votes were counted, Donald Trump won in every swing. There was a continuity. The polls said he was going to win in every swing state. Kamala Harris was looking bad. It was out there. The internals poll are looking bad. The polls said she was going to lose. The exit polls said she was going to lose. Everything said she was going to lose. There was no polling that said, hey, I think Kamala's going to win. The week before I came on and I said, well, it's looking kind of bleak for Kamala. The polls are not looking good. And what I said was, if you remember, look, I believe she'll win for this reason. Inflation is high and no party, incumbent party, is going to be able to hold the White House when inflation has gone up like it is over the past 4 years. It was obvious to me she was going to lose. The poll said she was going to lose, and then she lost. That was one of the clearest indications that I've ever seen that somebody was going to lose. And the Democrats, who had been screaming for the last 4 years, they were upset at Trump because he wouldn't admit that he lost. They lost in a blowout and then said, I don't think we lost. The Democrats have, no wonder they're at 27%. They're not a credible political party anymore. When you lose like that, and you still say, I don't think we lost. You lost all credibility. They're down to 27%. The only hope that the Democrats have, the only hope is that people will say, we don't like Trump and vote for them. They ain't offering anybody nothing except we don't think we lost. They don't come across as irrational. As a person who's not a Democrat or a Republican, neither one of these parties are rational to me. The wheels are coming off the cart in America, and neither the Democrat or the Democratic Party or the Republican Party can say we're screwed up. It's our fault. They both got to say it's the side of the other fault that's messing things up. 202-588-0893. We got some open lines, so call in. And Max, you didn't get to finish. If you can call in Max, I don't know what happened. I heard a blinker. I hope the something terrible didn't happen to Max. We need him to be here. But Max, you can even call back. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from? You're on the air, next caller. Uh-oh, I think somebody set the phone down and they are caught up in that 10-second delay. Next caller, you're on the phone. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
That's me.
Hello. I hope so.
Yes, sir. My name is Ndali. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Most of my call is not about the issue what you're talking about. Most of my issues were about you. I was listening to you since the Trump and Hillary campaign. You are a big hate about Democratic Party. You said you hate Republican Party either, but you sound like you're working for Trump because you always discourage the Democratic Party programs, which the Democratic Party provides all the social infrastructure, social issues for poor and working class and for the middle class. You deny that, and you endorse the Trump.
One thing at a time.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't, if you look at history, the both parties, ever since FDR passed the New Deal, the two parties have been tearing it apart. Bill Clinton was the one who did away with welfare. Who did away with the New Deal banking deals? Clinton and the Republicans. Both parties are responsible for this crap. So I'm loving either one of these parties. They're both horrific, and I say it every week.
Let me ask you a question. What do you love? There is only two parties in this country. But
that's not true. That's not true.
Hold on. Let me finish my statement.
I voted. You said there's only two parties. That's not true. Because, I voted for the Green Party this time.
The rest of the parties are joking. The marijuana party, the right, this party, and this party, they don't have any consciences. When they don't have a power, you cannot support them. You have Can I finish my
statement? Yes, I can. You told me I can't support them. Yes, I can.
Listen to me, please. Politics is a dirty game. Both parties have a bad thing, especially when it comes to foreign policy. Both parties are bad. But when it comes to for American people, which one is better? About education, about health care, about Medicare, Social Security. You have to choose which one is the better.
Let me ask you a question.
You are discouraged. Hello. You are discouraged.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Let's go back and forth. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Yes. Can I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
Are you still there?
I am.
Have you ever heard the term deal breaker?
Yes, I do.
There's a deal breaker. I've put it like this. A man asks a woman out for a date, and she says, I do this. She tells a lot, and he says, tell me a little bit. She says all the nice things, and at some point she says, I have to tell you one thing. He says, what? And she says, well, I'm a chainsaw murderer, and every weekend I go out and kill people. And he says, deal breaker. I wanted to date you, but that's something that I just can't get past, right? Okay. Every human being should have a deal breaker. And if a party is committing a genocide, buddy, that's a deal breaker. Don't tell me, yes, they're committing genocide, but they sure are good in this other area. I'm sorry. That's a deal breaker. Both parties have deal breakers. They're murdering warmongers. And that's a deal breaker for me. You can't tell me that I have to pick one of the murderous warmonger parties. I'm sorry. I'll vote for the whoever. There's lots of other parties, but I don't have to choose a murderous warmonger.
First of all, when you say you're talking about genocide, it's a requirement to be genocide. But you pick this issue. And
yes,
the rest of the you put it on the toilet. My point is, I don't know why you're discouraging people not to vote. Because
no, I don't.
Statement, yes, you did. Don't.
No, I didn't. I said vote for whoever you want to.
Don't vote for Republican Party. Don't vote for Democratic Party. People are discouraging, and the dangerous snake wins all the time. Now,
you have not been listening to this show.
What's happening, sir?
You ain't been listening to this show, brother. I tell people all the time, you can vote for whoever you choose. I respect everyone's right to vote for whoever they choose.
You have a very bad hit for Democratic Party.
Absolutely do.
Democratic Party. But I prefer Democratic Party than Republican Party, because Republican Party are anti-social, anti-people, because they're always about money, about millionaires and billionaires. But
you have a right. Democratic I respect Party your right. I respect your right to vote for the Democratic Party and support them. I respect your right to do that. Can't you respect my right to say I don't like the Democrats or the Republicans? I'm going to vote for the Green Party. But can't you respect my right? I don't even like the Green Party that much, but I wanted to say we should all vote for third vote. So I felt like that. How come I can respect your right to vote for a party that I despise, but you can't respect my right to choose my own party?
I agree, but an individual and you are different. You are coming to the media, and the media deceiving people by having this wrong propaganda, not to discourage to vote. Don't vote for
who did I deceive? I told the truth.
That's what you do on the media. That's what you do.
I told
the
truth.
You have to be responsible. I don't even know how WTOP, WF, this radio station, which I support, allow you to undermine a progressive ideas and align with a Republican, with Trump.
That's why, let me say this. That's another reason I despise the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, because they do not respect the rights of other people to talk. They say you shouldn't be allowed on the air unless you're willing to choose, in your instance, the Democratic Party. If I was a Republican, which I'm not going to be either one of those, I should have a right to be on the air every week. I say, I respect people's right. I want you to call me. I want you to come on the air and say, I disagree with you. I want to give you the opportunity to disagree with me. And here you are saying, no, you shouldn't even be on the air because you say things that I disagree with. Another reason I hate both parties. Go ahead.
Anyway, I finished my statement, which I want to take it out from my chest because this is the first time I got a chance to talk to you. But whatever opinion you have individually, I respect that. But when it comes to the media and discouraging people not to vote, it's not the right thing to do.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never discouraged anybody from voting. Not one time. I've never done that.
When it comes to politics, especially in this country, no matter who they are, you have to choose a better snake.
Okay, well, that's your choice to say that, but somebody else like me might disagree with you. Respect my right to disagree with you, brother.
To disagree with you, yes, individually, but you are coming to the media and you confuse people not to have
to understand. You don't respect people. People can listen to me. I think people are smart, and I don't think people are so stupid that that I'm going to make their minds up and make a decision for them. I'm saying what I believe, and I got a right to. People have a right to hear different opinions. It sounds to me like you only want people to come on that are going to say the things that you agree with. And if somebody like me comes on and says, I hate both parties, I'm opposed to war, I'm opposed to genocide, I'm not going to support that. Oh, well, you're saying things that I don't believe. You shouldn't be on the air. That's everything. And guess what? I want you to call back every week. I want you to be a part of this show and to tell me everything you disagree with, because I'm not with you on that. Even though we disagree, I want you on the air to tell me how much you disagree with me. That's how far apart we are.
Okay.
You don't want me on the air. I do want you on the air. That's the difference between me and you, brother.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
There we go. I want that brother to call back every week. I believe in free speech. And that people should be able to say things. And I believe in American people's right to hear five different things and make a decision. See, I don't think people are stupid. I don't think people are ignorant. And I don't think people are dragged around by their ear. I think people should listen to 10 different things that they don't, that they listen to people you agree with, listen to people you don't agree with, listen to all of that and make up your mind. I think people are smart enough to do that. I don't think we have to protect them from people saying things, oh my gosh, you're saying things that we don't disagree with, that I don't agree with. That shouldn't be on the air. Luckily for us, that ain't what WPFW is about. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air.
Oh, hey, this is Art from Lake Ridge, Virginia.
Talk to me, Art.
Well, I was wondering if you ever heard of the Archons? The Hidden Pillars Through the Archons?
No, what is that?
Okay, they got a Saturn moon matrix.
Nope, haven't heard of it.
Never heard of it? Oh, nope. Okay. Let's see, they've been, you know, ruining the human race for a while. And they're the demiurge. They're part of the the ones that have been ruling this planet and other planets for thousands of years, so they can get their what they call loosh. They use us as loosh.
Man, I hate being used as loosh. That makes me hungry just thinking about it.
Well, there's a magazine called Tools for Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got all kinds of nifty keen things in here about it. And there's a book in here called Archons, the Hidden Rulers through the Ages. I just wanted to turn your listeners on to it. It's like a 259 page book.
Well, thank you very much. Certainly, I appreciate you helping us because we do need to be freed from the Archons. I mean, hey, who wants a bunch of Archons telling you what to do all the time? That gets old in a hurry. So, thank you very much for hipping us to the issue of the Archons ruling us in an evil. Well, I don't know. He didn't say it's evil. Maybe they're good. I don't know. But who wants to be ruled by the Archons? Certainly not me. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? You are on the air. Oh no! Don't tell me we lost our last one. Come on, come on. I know you're there. I'm trying to count to 10. Well, I guess that ain't working out. Okay, next caller. You on air? Let's try the next caller. Are you on the air? Well, we got some open lines, apparently. Ah, ha, ha, ha. There you go. You were hiding from me. You're not one of the Archons, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay, well, whew, that's a relief.
All right, I'm calling. So, this is Marcus. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
What's happening, Marcus?
I want to talk a little bit about what the last caller said and a little bit what you touched on. You know, like you said earlier, I think that especially in D.C., you know, they've always, since 1973, they've always had a Democratic mayor, almost always have had a city council that was Democratic. And, you know, you have Ward 8 that's, you know, 27% in poverty and all the crime and everything else. It costs $350 to get your car registered, $120 to get a gun transfer. All these exorbitant prices, $100 for this. And you have callers that say, oh, well, the Democratic Party's for your Social Security and all this other stuff. But you're taxing you out the wahoo. They licenses cost out the wahoo. And then they turn around and create parties that are protected or, you know, say beneficial parties. And then they want to blame Trump for stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is that we were doing the city and the Democrats have been doing stuff like this before Trump was ever in office, before Trump ever even considered to run for president. So, I mean, the idea that Social Security or all these other programs they say for people, who are they for? Because the rich have insurance, the poor had insurance. So whatever the Affordable Care Act and things like that came out, it was strictly for working class people. So, I mean, if you want to help working class people, why wouldn't you try something different if all this other stuff has been killing the working class people? I mean, D.C. has been Democratic for who knows how long, and then look at how the city had been run. Maryland wants to give away all this stuff like the previous caller. Everybody trying to give stuff away. West Virginia, Delaware, and Virginia around them all have positive budgets, and Maryland's minus $3 billion. You can't keep giving people stuff. You can't keep having this idea that, oh, I'm going to give away hot dogs, hamburgers, and free stuff, and that way I'm going to keep this party afloat. The Democrats have to have a stronger platform than what they've been on if they ever expect to win again. I mean, period. And let's not forget that Al Gore had already started this election fraud stuff to everybody trying to make it seem like Trump was the first person to come out and say, like, he felt like an election was stolen. Hillary Clinton talked about it, too, before she even ran for president. So, I mean...
Let me throw this at you, too. You know, I do think here's where I would disagree with you. The idea that giving out, I'm going to disagree with you. I think you're right about a lot of things. One area I will, and I'll disagree with you, and I'll throw this at you and let you answer it. You know, there's a guy, Dr. Jack Rasmus, who I interview regularly. He's one of the top economists in the world. And here's what he says. He says, between 2000 and 2025, we've done $15 trillion in tax cuts for the rich. We've done around between $10 and $12 trillion spent in war, right? The truth of this is, and that war money all goes to what? Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, that goes to the rich too. So what Black he says water, is this.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not that we're spending money on poor people that's giving us making us broke. It's that all the money between wars and tax cuts for the rich. And might I add, you ain't going to hear a Democrat or Republican saying stop a war or stop the tax cuts for the rich. Though both of those are the you know what the Republicans will make this big tax cut for the rich and the Democrats will run and say, elect us and we'll stop it. And you elect them and they ain't going to. They're going to keep it going. Right.
Of course.
So the reality is, I argue this. If we didn't spend $12 trillion on wars and $15-16 on tax cuts for trillion for the rich, people could have health care. We could have better roads. We could have all the things we needed and nobody would have to worry about, quote, giving stuff. The problem is not giving stuff away to the poor. It's that we give everything to the rich and there's nothing left for the poor. That's my position. What do you have to say?
Okay. All right. So this is what I would say on this. First of all, people say that the rich don't pay their fair share in taxes. So how can I give a $1 trillion tax cut to somebody that doesn't pay their fair share? So right there, we have an anomaly. The problem is that the Democrats don't understand how money works. And what they wind up doing is that when they tax the alleged rich, and I'm throwing air quotes up, they're taxing doctors, lawyers, and all the people who work for a living. Because remember, taxes is short for income taxes. Therefore, to be taxed, you have to go out and you have to have a W-2. You have to have a job. If a rich person takes $1 million and invests it and make $250,000 on it based off of capital gains, they wouldn't have to pay any taxes. But see, because the Democrats don't understand how money works, they believe that these tax cuts that are coming, I can't see where they're making up their mind. They say
billionaires. So wait a minute. Hold on. We only got a minute or so left. I want to throw something at what you said because we got to go. Capital gains. So if I'm rich and I invest and I make $500,000 on tax on tax capital gains. Mm-hmm. That's income, but I don't have to pay income tax
on it.
But if I go out here and I work and I fix a car and I work and I sweat, I got to pay income tax on that, which are much higher on capital gains.
100%.
My point is, we have regressive taxes. If you're a rich person, you pay very low taxes on the money you make. If you're a hardworking person, they pay you, they tax you when you make it on payroll taxes, and then they tax you again on income taxes.
But guess what?
If you're rich, you get it on capital gains and dividends, and you don't have to pay much for it even one time.
But the point is, our IRS system, unfortunately, we're out of time.
Here's what I need you to do. Call me back next week and we can continue this. 202-588-0893. I want to thank my main man, Kalia. Next, we got good music coming up at Garland N on Telegram, Garland Nixon on Facebook, Garland.Nixon on Instagram. My email is Garland N. That's my name and the first letter of my last name, Garland and the letter N, GarlandN@gmail.com. Thanks a lot, Kalia. Got great music coming on Robin's show. I'm out.
Salvation.